How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was pretty good. We went back to my hometown, Texarkana. That was nice to get to see the family and everything. Which kind of leads me into one of the things I want to talk about. We saw a movie.
Okay, and it wasn't Justice League.
No, it was not Justice
League.
Because
you had already seen that one.
Okay. I would have been completely content with seeing Justice League again.
Okay, what movie did you see?
We saw Wonder.
Okay, so my little sister is really big on this movie.
Really?
She's 9. She read the book in class and went and saw it with all her friends. And so we were all going to see, me and my brothers and my dad wanted to go see Justice League.
Yeah.
And she was trying to convince us to go see Wonder instead. And we were like, no. But she ended up going to see it a second time with my mom because she likes it so much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm interested to know what your take on it was.
Okay, we'll definitely get into that. But it was a good Thanksgiving. How about you?
It was good, yeah. Yeah, no, I went home. My parents have their new remodeled house.
Oh, yeah.
They finally got set up. So, yeah, no, that was good. It was relaxed.
Was it, like, weird celebrating, like, this traditional holiday and stuff in, like, a new house, or was it chill?
It wasn't as weird as I thought it would be, because, so normally, like, I would fly home, to Kansas City, and then we would just go on actual Thanksgiving to my grandparents anyway, because there's, like, an extended family, like, both sides of our family meet somewhere and do Thanksgiving in central Missouri. And so I'm always kind of in that area anyway.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, it was good, though. So we saw Justice League. Was it? I think it might have been the night of... I think it was Friday night. Maybe.
I know. The holidays all blend together.
No, it was Thursday night because people were starting to go black. Okay, did you do any Black Friday shopping?
We did.
Yeah, and how was that?
We got a TV.
Really?
Yeah. We followed
nice.
In
That's
your
like
footsteps.
The thing to get at Black Friday.
Yeah, I was doing so much research like the day of because I was like, I want a TV because one of the things we got as a wedding gift, which was pretty surprising, was a sound bar. But we've already got, like, 2 surround systems hooked up. So I was like, well, this just means we need another TV.
Oh, man, you got too many sound systems for the number of TVs you have.
That is never a problem I thought I would have. And I was just like, this is not the worst thing that could be. So yeah, but
it's pretty great.
We didn't actually get in the thick of it. I was talking to my dad, and he was like, oh, well, I've done a little bit of research, too. And he showed me Sam's Club had some really good deals for like online only stuff that started at like 11 that Wednesday night. So I was like, well, heck yeah, we can do this like a day earlier and not have to like actually stand in line or anything. So that was cool.
Yeah. No, I saw something that was like, it's down to like 36% of people say that if they're doing Black Friday shopping, they actually go and do it in the store.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know why, but my parents are in a small town in central Missouri, and we drove past the Walmart on our way to the movie theater at the lake, and it was just, like, packed at, like, 6 o'clock on Thursday night.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, like, me and my friends from, like, high school, it used to be the kind of this tradition to go Black Friday shopping because we were a lot younger then, and, like, going at, like, midnight anywhere was, like, cool, and we wouldn't actually buy anything, we would just, like, be in the midst of it, but, like, now... Black Friday, like some of the commercials we saw when we were like watching cable at my parents' house was like, Black Friday starts tonight and it goes throughout this entire week. And I was like, wait, what? And then another place was like, oh yeah, we're opening like Thursday at noon for Black Friday. So it's everyone's opening so early. It kind of it's just weird.
Yeah, it's strange. Yeah, for sure. And I feel it's kind of like how movie premieres used to always be at midnight. And it was all, like, exciting. And so you would go on the one day, it was like a Friday night, and you would go on the Friday night to go to the movie premiere. and you were like the first ones to see
it. That was the absolute best.
It was super cool. And now it's like 6 o'clock on a Thursday is technically the premiere, and it's like no one's lining up at 6
o'clock
on a Thursday.
They're really not. It's just not as fun.
It's hard to get excited about it, and it's the same thing with Black Friday. It starts like way before actual Friday, because I guess people don't want to stay up late.
Yeah, I get it. It really does take the fun out of it, though. And you really just hit the nail on the head, because the theater we went to is a theater, you know, I went to like all through like middle and high school. And so as soon as we walked in, I was like, I remember like seeing the Avengers and the Dark Knight Rises, like all those movies, like their midnight premieres.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, that doesn't really exist anymore. I guess you can go at midnight, but it's like, why? You're not being the first anymore, so it's kind of... kind of not as fun. But I digress.
Cool. What TV did you get?
Oh, we got a Hitachi. I think it was... I think it's like 55 inches.
Nice. And is that going to be like the new main TV?
Yeah, kind of trying to see how we want to reconfigure
which
things.
One you want with.
Yeah, because it's nice because the person who was living here, or the person who owns the house, really, they left two mounts, and I'm pretty sure both of those mounts are going to, like, support either TV. So I got to get on, I'm waiting on one bracket to get here by the end of tonight, and then we'll kind of get that all together. But it's cool. I saw Josh in town, and he got a TV, too, but he
nice.
Went to, like, it was in Best Buy, so we, like, actually went there and stuff, but yeah.
Nice. Is it 4K?
No.
No 4K. That's okay.
I was trying to ask him. I was like, hey, are you going to like make the change to 4K? And he was like, eh, maybe. And then he was looking at prices, and we didn't get there early enough to like get any of the really, really good deals. So he found one that was pretty cheap, that was 1080, and it was like 43 inches. He was just like, well, right now, the TV in his living room right now is like 22 or something. So he was like, anything is going to look great at this point.
Yeah, I know, and he plays a ton of games on that thing,
too. I don't know how he doesn't have, like, serious, like, needs, like, serious corrective lenses. Because if he plays as much as I know he does on that TV, I don't know how it's going to work.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, Josh.
Oh, well.
Cool. Okay, should we get into the Justice League?
Let's do Wonder first, because I have much less to say about Wonder.
Okay, that's fair.
So I'm assuming you've heard about it since your sister was raving about it.
Yes, I know roughly the plot is that there is this kid, and he has deformities since he was born, I think. And it's like his first time going to school, and he's in like the fifth grade or something like that, and everyone makes fun of him, and it's sad, but he's like positive, and his dad is Owen Wilson, and that's all I know.
You knew as much as I know, and I don't know if I really have a lot to add. I mean, that's pretty much it at its premise. It's a really fun movie. You can definitely tell it was adapted from, at some points, they'll like, it'll like flash to black with white text and say a person's name, and you'll like hear a narration from their perspective. And it feels like very like a book thing to do, but they made it work in the movie because some people's motivations, you just didn't know what they're coming from or whatever. So you kind of got to fill in the gaps that way. But yeah, it was a sweet movie. It was a fun movie. Had a lot of heart. I don't really have anything negative to say about that, to be honest. I feel like it's kind of, I don't know, I feel like child actors are kind of a gamble sometimes, but I think they all did pretty good, so.
Yeah, I know the guy that's the main kid, of course he's under like all the like makeup and everything to make him look weird, but he was in Room, not The Room.
yeah.
Not that one, not the bad one, but... the like Oscar nominated one. And
was that
was
the
like
one
really...
with Jennifer Lopez? Or not Lopez, Jesus. Jennifer Lawrence.
Not Jennifer, it was Brie Larson.
Oh, shame on me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's a interesting movie. But
I don't think I've seen it. I've heard good things about it, but I mean the kid's young.
Yeah,
so.
I mean I don't know if I'd recommend it just because it's kind of just sad because it's just the kid and his mom trapped in a guy's shed.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah. I did not know
like
that.
It's like he's grown up there his entire life. I guess, like, as, like, a 7-year-old, he's already, like, tagged to play these, like, really hard roles. Wow. Of, like, this kid that just doesn't have it easy. So, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I had heard that movie was good. I'm not sure it's one that I would choose to see.
It wasn't one... I don't know, like, I brought it up to my mom, and I was like, she asked what was in theaters. And the ones that looked like she would be interested in most were Wanda and Coco. And I would have rather have seen Coco just because I've got it in my mind that, like, Pixar can do no wrong.
Yeah.
But mom wanted to see Wanda because it looked more interesting. I was like, oh, well, it'll add another movie to my belt, and I'll probably still end up seeing Coco at some point.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I'm sure Grace is going to want to see it just to check off another Disney movie.
I have heard that people really like it, but they're kind of, they don't like the there's apparently a Frozen short that's like 20 minutes long, but that's on top of like 20 minutes of previews. So some parents are just like, we got to leave early because they didn't account for like 40 extra minutes.
Yeah.
And also some parents didn't realize that they were like leaving in the theaters like within the first 10 minutes thinking it was Frozen.
Oh, wow.
Which is all amazing.
Yes, yes. No, that is terrific. Disney trying to capitalize on their Frozen, and no one was ready for it.
Yeah, apparently, because it released in Mexico, like, either a week or 2 weeks ago, and Disney removed the short from theaters because people were complaining so much.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know if they'll do that in the U.S. or what.
Huh. Well, that's a minor problem for Disney.
It really is. They got the money.
They do.
But, all right, so I don't really have any thoughts about about Wonder. I mean, it was a nice movie.
It was good.
It was a good,
yeah,
wholesome family movie.
It's a movie that you could take your family to see.
Yes.
But, yeah. Yeah, if it's just me going to see a movie, I think I'd probably pick Justice League.
Yeah, I don't think you'd need to, like... Yeah, you're not missing anything. But it was nice. It'd be nice if, like... around Christmas, if y'all don't have anything to do and it's still out, which I'm sure it still will be. I think it's a solid pick.
Star Wars at Christmas, TJ.
Oh, you're right. What's wrong with me? Yeah. Okay, so with Wander out of the way, I guess we can get on
to Justice League. Let's do it. Okay, so should we start with overall impressions?
Yeah, because I think that kind of colors the way that we think about it. I think, whenever on Hello Internet, whenever Gray and Brady do a movie review, Brady always makes Gray tell his overall opinion first off, which I think I kind of agree with.
Yeah. I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I think we already have our minds made up. At least I do, as soon as the movie ends.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay, so I will say I was pleasantly surprised. I liked it more... Okay, so I think I found myself, after about 30 minutes in, I realized that I was really trying to not like it. Because, I don't know, DC just has had so many problems with their previous movies, and the first 30 minutes started out kind of slow, and I was like, oh, they're back at it again. But at the end of the movie, I was like, this was a good movie. It wasn't too long. They tried to make it a little more lighthearted, and I was like, they're on the right track. It wasn't phenomenal, I didn't think, but it was a really good movie.
The thing that really stood out to me during what you just said is, you know how you said you caught yourself trying not to like it?
Yes.
I feel like in general, that's just everyone else. But they don't catch themselves not trying to like it, because we'll get into this in a bit and you'll see. But I loved this movie. And it just hurt my heart whenever I was looking around and people were like, they had their like gripes and complaints, and it wasn't perfect or anything, but I don't know if I've had this much fun watching a superhero movie. I just really don't. It wasn't that it was like all lighthearted and stuff. It was just getting to see everyone together. was awesome. And I don't know, I feel like a lot of the complaints that I was hearing about it, it was just people going in wanting to not like it because of DC's track record. Which I understand, but I feel like at some point you have to like kind of let this film at some to some degree stand on its own. And I don't know, I loved it. I enjoyed it from beginning to end.
I think if anything I could be convinced to like it even more, like on a second time watching it. Mm-hmm. Because I mean really this is DC's Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Of we've got all these heroes and we're bringing them together, and yeah, no, it, like growing up knowing who all the heroes are on both sides, Marvel and DC, it's cool to just see all the characters on screen together.
Yeah, and that's true.
Even though I think, and we can get into this, of I'm not sure if it was, if it helped the movie that we didn't have as much background on like half of the heroes, and they'll flush them out later, as opposed to where Marvel kind of covers every hero that's going to be in the big movie before they do the movie.
I feel like DC couldn't do that. Like I think that's, I think if you're going to try and build, if you're going to try and build to a point like the Avengers or Justice League, and you see what Marvel has done, if you're trying to do anything slightly different, I feel like they couldn't do that without being called copycats.
Yeah, yeah, I think they were too late to the game, too, because if they had done individual movies for all of those characters and then come back and done a big movie, it would have been, like, 4 years from now before you'd have actual Justice League.
Yeah, and a complaint I've been seeing is that DC, like, was just trying to rush this out. And I don't know if I 100% agree with that, because if you look at the timeline, like, Iron Man came out in, what, like, 2008, and then The Avengers came out in 2012, so 4 years. Justice League, it started with Man of Steel in 2013, then 2017, or no, it started with Man of Steel 2013, and then Justice League just now in 2017. It's not like there, MCU fit in, like, one more movie, but it's not like they did one movie or two movies, and then boom, Justice League. So, I don't
know. Yeah, no, I agree. I for some reason, it feels like Man of Steel was a lot longer ago. I'm not sure why that
it
is.
It's because when Man of Steel came out in, hold on, I got it, but in 2013, and then we didn't get another movie for 3 years. So it was like Man of Steel, 3 year gap, then Dawn of Justice, Suicide Squad in the same year, then Wonder Woman, and then Justice League. So it's like those movies came out quickly, but it's not like just timeline wise, like they had relatively the same amount of time. It's just MCU fit in like one more movie, I think. So it's not like they just push this out as fast as they can. It probably was a little rushed. I'll give you that, because I mean when Avengers came out in 2012, I'm sure DC was just like, well, we got to do something. So
yeah. Yeah, but it didn't feel rushed in watching. I don't know. I wasn't sitting there like in Suicide Squad. It felt like, oh man, like they really didn't spend their time thinking this through.
Yeah, you know, the only movie that I really won't defend out of the DCEU is Suicide Squad.
That's fair. That's fair. And I think I'm in the same boat.
Because there are great parts in Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman, albeit less, I think. Wonder Woman overall was great. And there are some parts in Suicide Squad, but I think I don't get defensive about Suicide Squad,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. I won't try to stop you there. Okay, so do you want to just go through the movie?
Yeah, yeah, let's kind of do that. So, I guess in the beginning we're... do you know how long after Batman vs. Superman this movie was? Or how long after Suicide Squad,
I feel like
Squad,
they
I
said that Superman had been dead for like a year.
Yeah, they definitely gave a timeline for it, and I wasn't paying attention.
I think they said about a year, which essentially I would say it's about the amount of time since the actual movie came out.
Okay, well, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say about that time. Okay. So yeah, it opens there, and it opened with that Batman scene where he's stopping the burglar. Mm-hmm. And that scene kind of confused me a little bit. Just because I was surprised at the... what's the name of the little bug things?
Parademons.
Parademons. I didn't think that they were just there already.
Well, yeah, that's... He said, like, this is a scout. So they were kind of just figuring out what the lay of the land was.
He, like, knew it was going to be there. Like, I don't know. Something about that...
I agree. It wasn't where I thought it was going to open up, but I think he alluded to the fact this wasn't the first one that he had encountered.
Yeah, which kind of threw me off, because I was like, is this another one of Batman's weird dream sequences again?
Okay, see, I've kind of just disregarded those in general. Okay, that's okay. Weird. Yeah, no, I did have that thought, actually, during one part. I was like, is this real? And I was like, surely they wouldn't do that again.
And then the last time we saw the parademons was in that dream that he had, and they didn't.
That's true.
So, I don't know, small quibble, but I was just a little confused as to when this was, what was going on, and why Batman was so just kind of like, I don't know, he was already in the middle of it. I was just like, oh, okay, I guess we're going.
I feel like that's one of those things they just kind of wrote off. Well, he knows what's going on because it's Batman. Like, he can figure out how to track down these parademons and this
honestly,
and
if they had 10 or 15 more minutes of him doing a couple cases before that when they first showed up, I'm okay that they cut it. I didn't need to see 20 minutes of Batman tracking down things.
I didn't either.
Okay, so it opens with that scene. And then, so basically I felt like the first 30 minutes or so is him basically realizing that there's that he's kind of got the puzzle with the three boxes he's trying to figure out. Mm-hmm. And he's essentially trying to put together a team of people. I don't know, had he already decided he was going to put together the team at that point?
Yeah, I think they dropped hints of that, like, way back in Batman versus Superman. They were just like, we need more of us, we need fighters, mm-hmm. whenever they were at Superman's funeral. So I think they were kind of laying seeds for that. It seemed like it was, like, at least on his mind back then. And it's a little bit of a stretch, I'll grant it, but I think it made at least somewhat logistical sense that he was just like, we've got these weird things scouting us out, we need more people with powers, and because of Lex Luthor, he had all the info he needed, really.
Yeah. Okay, so stop me if I'm summarizing too much, but he basically goes and meets up with Aquaman, who essentially shuts him down, says not interested.
Mm-hmm.
He then meets with Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman's kind of on board with it because their box has been taken by the villain Steppenwolf.
Okay, well, first of all, two things. What did you think of Wonder Woman's like opening scene with her like stopping that bomb or whatever?
I was again a little confused what was going on there. I get she was just stopping a bank robbery that was close by, and also, she was really fast.
Yeah.
Is she normally that fast? Is that one of her powers? Is, like... Because, like, I could believe that, like, he shoots a bullet, and she just, like, casually dodges it, because she's, like, that alert. But her running in front of a whole line of people and deflecting all the bullets one at a time, I was like, oh, this is a power I didn't know she had.
I'm not going to lie. I hadn't thought about it.
It was really cool, though, and I feel like I'm starting to sound really critical of the movie.
No, it's okay, because at some point we're going to need to have some differing opinions, and I am a very strong fan of this movie. So, no, that's not something I thought of. I think I was just caught up with the awe of the scene.
No, it was a really cool scene, and then she like just jumps through the ceiling and throws that briefcase through the air.
That was amazing.
I know, and that whole scene, it was like, yes, we know you guys liked Wonder Woman because she does this cool stuff. Here it is, and I was like, good DC, you figured out what the people want, and it's this stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, no, I thought that was a really good scene. I didn't
know. Yeah, you have a point. I don't know what the limit on that speed is.
Yeah, and I don't... I mean, I guess I need to go back and watch Wonder Woman already, but, like, I know she was, like, super aware, and, like, when they, like, fired shots at her across the battlefield in World War One, she could kind of, like, deflect them. But this was, like... I don't know, he was just unloading a machine gun at point-blank range, and she was able to sprint across.
This was a different speed, you're right.
I was just like, wow, like, the Flash is going to have some problems, which, I mean, he's got it on multiple fronts, but we'll get to that later. Okay, so that part happens, and, okay, so what, was that just to show Wonder Woman doing her stuff, or... I forget if that robber guy had, like, a greater purpose.
I think, for me at least, I interpreted that, you know, we had Wonder Woman, and she did all that stuff in World War One, but in Batman vs. Superman, we were led to believe, you know, she was kind of, like, hung up the lasso or whatever.
Yeah.
So to this, it meant, like, oh, she's back in business. Like, she's ready to, like, help the world of men.
She's going
to
be your everyday superhero.
Yeah, so that's how I interpret it. Yeah, so she was going to go back to superheroing, which I was cool with.
Yeah, and I guess it was also enforcing the point that Superman's gone and he can't save the day all the time.
Yeah, because I think that was important. Because one thing I'll say about the DC-verse or whatever, I think they did a really good job, like, kind of world-building, if that makes sense, just kind of implying all the effects that, like, Superman had and things like that. I feel like maybe they were stronger in that more so than, like, character development. So yeah. I think they did a better job with, like, world development, because that was kind of the whole point of Batman versus Superman. They were just like, yeah, Man of Steel, great, but, like, he destroyed all this stuff. And I was like, oh, I hadn't really thought about that. So I think they did a pretty interesting job about building that world, and maybe not as much with developing the characters. So,
I don't know. It's more of their connection to, like, the world and actual people in it.
Yeah.
Because the Marvel heroes seem kind of removed from the world of, they're just kind of having this hero fight above it all, and people aren't really involved in it.
Yeah, and I think the first time they really, like, mentioned it was... They, like, offhandedly mentioned it in, like, the TV shows, like, the Netflix shows, but I don't really consider that.
Oh, and then how Agents of Steel goes around, like, cleans up the messes and stuff.
Yeah, but I'm not really tying that in.
Yeah,
and then Vulture, that was kind of his whole vengeance, but I don't know. I feel like, you know, I don't really want to get into a Marvel versus DC debate or anything.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
But
the place.
I do think DC has done a pretty dang good job of world building in some aspects, so I'll give them a look. I think they deserve at least some credit there. But yeah, where were we? And then you mentioned, I'm going to say this wrong, Themyscira, Wonder Woman's homeworld.
Yeah.
And them trying to defend the box from Steppenwolf. I thought that whole sequence was awesome, too.
Yes. Anything on that island is just super cool, though.
It really is.
They just did
Amazons
that so well.
Amazons are just... They're so badass. And
they
then,
nailed
like,
them.
Them trying to stop Steppenwolf, and he was just, like, Superman jumping and hitting him with his hammer.
Oh.
I was just
and
like,
when, like,
Zack Snyder, you don't do everything right, but, like, this sort of style on this island, like, everything just clicked.
Yeah, where she, like, throws the bow ahead of her horse, slides off of it, ties it to the box, and then shoots the arrow forward.
They
and,
were
like,
just super
another
competent.
Person.
It was awesome.
Oh, it was so cool. That was really cool. But, okay, so I forget at what point they showed the backstory of, like, Steppenwolf and all that, but
I think it was when Wonder Woman met up with Batman, and they were talking about trying to recruit people. And why this is such a big deal.
Okay, so shortly after that, I think.
Yeah.
But I was expecting the villain of this movie to be Darkseid. And I was surprised that it was just, like, his predecessor or his, like, messenger. I forget exactly what role Steppenwolf plays, but he was basically trying to prepare the way for Darkseid, correct?
Yeah. I probably did too much research about this movie before it came out, so I knew it was going to be Steppenwolf.
Okay.
And I think I'm kind of glad they did it that way, because I feel like Darkseid, just nerd background, but the person who invented Darkseid, he originally worked at Marvel, and he was like, I want to do this thing called, like, the New Gods and, like, have these super powerful beings, and Marvel was like, no. So then he went to DC and created Darkseid. So when Marvel saw how great Darkseid ended up being in the comics, they were just like, well, we needed to get something like that. And that's when they made Thanos. So, like, Thanos is, like, their big bad to DC's Darkseid, which is the big bad. I think it would have felt more rushed if they would have pulled out Darkseid to Justice League, just because that would have been putting their big bad out front. That would have been like if Thanos was in the Avengers or something. It would have been like, oh, this is cool, but where are we going to go from here?
Yeah, so, no, I think it does make sense, and I think I am kind of glad they did it that way. But I was just, yeah, my expectation was that when Justice League is coming together, it's because they're defeating Darkseid, because he's the one that's been referenced in the previous ones.
Yeah, there's, I forget the name of the animated movie, but there's a Justice League movie, and it talks about, like, the Justice League coming together, and it's pretty much all the superheroes just doing their own thing. Then Darkseid comes down, starts wrecking crap, and then they have to, like, band together to, like, defeat him, which was awesome in that animated movie. I'll try and look up later where it is. Just because you see where all the heroes are coming from, you see they're very established in their own sectors, but trying to work together is interesting. But because that was only a one-off movie, you could do that. But because they're trying to, you know, make this thing go on longer, I think it would have been a little too much putting Darkseid in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't want to do this, but I feel like it's impossible to not do Marvel DC comparisons, but.
Yeah, I know.
I think we've talked before about how weak Marvel's villain building is, and mm-hmm. I feel like that's something that DC kind of has going for it so far, is that maybe even if the villain, like, character development isn't great, I feel like the boss fights have been really good.
And, okay. Like, yes,
all of the villains seem really intimidating. Like, I don't know, Ares in Wonder Woman, and the General Zod fight at the end of Man of Steel was great. And, what's his name? Why am I forgetting his name in Batman versus Superman?
Doomsday.
Yeah, yeah, and that was, like, super cool. And, like, I don't know, you kind of feel like they're unbeatable at some point, that they're just, like, super powerful.
Yeah, Steppenwolf, like, I didn't really know anything about him. I didn't know his powers or anything. But when he showed up on Wonder Woman's island and he was just wrecking stuff,
yeah,
he was equally powerful throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
And that was awesome because they didn't just, like, find inner strength. Like, they needed a Superman to beat this
guy.
Yeah,
they needed
Superman. He was just so powerful.
Yeah.
And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so went over Steppenwolf, and I think the next part is Batman sends Wonder Woman to go talk to Cyborg.
Yeah.
While Batman goes to talk to Flash.
Yeah.
So we introduce both of those characters, and we can kind of do kind of a review of those characters if you want to.
Yeah, who do you want to start with?
We'll start with Flash.
Okay.
So I haven't watched the CW Flash. I've seen a couple episodes, but I think I know my brother had, and he was kind of comparing him to that one, what he liked and what he didn't like, mm-hmm. and I didn't have that comparison. So, I mean, I thought he was pretty good. I thought he played the role well of, like, the awkward kind of funny guy, and I thought they had enough, like, cool, like, Flash sequences where he's, like, actually useful, and it's not just like, oh, he runs fast and that's it. It's like he had to, like, build up the electricity to charge the box, and he had to do different things. So I don't know, I thought they used him in a couple cool ways.
Okay.
I'm not sure how I feel about the actual Flash animation where he goes fast and it gets all staticky, like lightning bolts shooting everywhere, and, like, he's still in slow motion, but everyone else is in, like, really slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so I've watched, I think I'm up to season 4 of The Flash. I haven't seen the past couple weeks' episodes, but I watched it all the way through. And I know a lot of people were upset that the star of the CW Flash, Grant Gustin, that he wasn't going to be in this.
It's just not going to happen.
Here's the thing.
CW is not going to, yeah.
I completely understand why they didn't do it. Like, I enjoy The Flash show. I thought it was at its height during season 1. And has struggled to find kind of that uniqueness ever since. Season 4 seems to be somewhat promising, but I'm only like 2 episodes in. But I thought Ezra Miller did an awesome job as the Flash. He plays like this. He plays the Flash that the person that I think the Justice League really needed. Like, just the comedic relief, like really powerful, but doesn't really understand how. I love the fact that he was at no point, like, did he seem to be a warrior. He was just like, I just push people out of the way really fast. And I was like, that makes complete sense. And I thought he did a great job as Barry Allen. I really liked his job there. As far as his animations, I think they worked for this movie. I think the only scene that I think the animation worked for this movie. I think I was going to say that the only scene that I didn't like was the one where Batman throws the Batarang at him. But I think I only don't like that because it was in every single preview. Yeah, I was just like, okay, I've seen this, and it's like 20 seconds. I get it, he's fast. But if I hadn't seen that before, I'd have been like, oh my god, he's so fast!
Yeah, and that along with his like one-liners on the roof where like they show the bat signal, and he's like, hey look, it's your signal. And I was like, I probably would have liked this if I hadn't seen it a ton of times watching the trailer.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that was a detriment to the trailer editing. But I think they kind of had to like feature him in the previews, though, because, I mean, where no one else was all that funny. I thought Superman was pretty funny, but we'll get into that later. But I thought he did a great job as Barry Allen. I like the whole lightning staticky stuff when he's running. I thought it looked cool, but I thought it looked cool for this movie. I thought it fit with the aesthetic and everything, but I don't know how it makes me nervous when I think about like a Flash solo movie. I don't know how it's gonna look if that's the only thing we see for the entire movie. Kind of the same way I feel about Aquaman, and we can get into that next. But overall, I really like the Flash. I thought it was an excellent introduction into the Justice League.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, and I forgot we skipped over Aquaman, so let's do him next. But yeah, I give a thumbs up on The Flash. Aquaman, I think I was expecting them to do a little more with him, but I think they gave me enough that I'm still, like, interested to see what they do for his solo movie.
Yeah, because this movie is not very long. It's right at 2 hours.
I liked
another,
that.
Like, 3 minutes of just Aquaman, I'm cool. I'm right at the point where I was just like, I want just a little more Aquaman, and I would have been satisfied. Like, just a little more. Because I thought Jason Momoa was awesome. I think that they needed to treat Aquaman the way that they treated him. I think it was a cool introduction into it, and I'm definitely interested to see a solo Aquaman movie. But I don't know how they're gonna make it. Like, and I think they already wrapped production or wrapped shooting or something. Which I don't know how they're gonna do it, because they had the one underwater scene, which was, I thought it looked great, but then they had to like do this whole like air bubble thing for them to talk, and I was like, well, that's just not feasible for a feature length movie. And whoever's directing it already came out and said, oh, wait, we're not going to do that for the full movie. Don't worry. We'll find a way around it. And I just think it's very hard to even think about doing a movie underwater. So I'm interested, but that can't be easy.
Yeah, yeah. Now, and they had that scene where he goes to defend his box, and that was underwater. And I was like, okay, like, cool scene, but can you do this for an entire movie?
Yeah, I thought the scene was great, but I don't know.
They, like, made that bubble where they were, like dry, but still under, like he made a little.
Yeah, so they could talk.
I know. And so I was like, okay, they're kind of introducing this so that they can use that in the Aquaman movie, so they don't have to be underwater the entire movie.
Already said they're not using that technique for the whole movie.
Yeah, so yeah, not.
The I don't whole, know what yeah. they're gonna do.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know. I'm intrigued, but I did. He had one really good scene before they go into the final fight, where he was sitting on the front of the Batmobile, and Wonder Woman's got him with the lasso of truth, and he just kind of has like a little monologue for like 90 seconds or so, and mm-hmm. I was like, yes, yeah. So I really like that.
Yeah, I think they took Arthur Curry the way that they had to for it to not be ridiculous.
yeah.
And no, I think Jason Momoa is a perfect person to do it.
Yeah, because, yeah, he's not going to be seen as silly. Yeah. No, I liked Aquaman. They didn't give us a whole lot, but, yeah, I think there's reasonable anticipation for an Aquaman movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now I think I'm most interested to know what you think of Cyborg.
Okay. So Cyborg was the character that I was the most worried about.
Yes.
Because from what it looked like, he looked brooding and mad from all the previews. And I was just like, the only Cyborg I know, really, and I know this isn't, you know, the Cyborg of all cyborgs, but the only one I really know is from the original Teen Titans.
Yes.
Where he was just yelling booyah and having a good time. And I know that's completely different from the tone of this movie.
Yes.
And I'll say this. The more... By the end of the movie, I really like Cyborg. But it was a process. I started off just lukewarm about him because he was mad. And he had justification to be mad. He really did. And then as the movie went on, just the more that you got to like talk or hear from this character, there was some point where I forget who exactly was fighting, but he was just like, where you guys were, you know, arguing or being dicks or whatever, I already hacked into this or whatever. And then at the end, when he was separating the box with Superman, like his humor was coming through, just not as it wasn't as in your face as I guess I. As the Cyborg that I grew up with, but I was happy with him.
Cool. Okay, I'm glad to know that, because I think I kind of felt the same thing, and I hope it's intent, because it seems like the like individual development of Cyborg is that he's this machine now, and he has to come to terms with how to combine human machine, and it seems like. Maybe before his accident, he was this, like, super fun-loving guy.
Yeah, and I wish we could have gotten a flashback of that guy. And then it would have made more sense to, like, see some of that kind of, like shine through as the movie went on. If they gave me, like, just a little bit of that, I would have been cool.
Yes, and it feels like he's trying to get back to that. And that's,
yeah.
Because, okay, if they had dropped Teen Titans Cyborg into what they have built to this point with the DC universe, it would make zero sense.
You're right, man.
The tone would be completely off. And
he'd
so,
be like an annoying version of the Flash.
Yes. And so I'm hoping that they want to get him there, and it's just they've got to take time with it. So
I'm fine with that.
I thought the actor played it really well.
I did too. Like, when he met with Wonder Woman for the first time, I was like, okay, I don't know, he's a little mad, and then he flew off. But then by the end, I really enjoyed him. I was like, okay, I see the reason that you were... I understand why he was upset. Because, you know, Teen Titans was like a kid's show. You don't really get... It had some real moments, but you didn't really get that depth about Cyborg, really.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought he was cool. Okay, and final comment on Cyborg, how did you feel about his booyah?
I was so happy. I cheered in my seat. You can ask Josh and Grace. I was like, yes! Because I kind of forgot about it, because when he was on screen, I was just like, I'm not getting a booyah. And then I didn't think about it the rest of the movie. And then when he said, I was like, yes!
I know, and that was one of those moments where I'm like, DC hears us. They know, they've finally figured some of these things out of what the fans want in these movies.
I'll tell you, that was a turning point in the movie. As soon as I got that booyah, I was like, I love this movie.
Yeah.
Because I was really enjoying it, but that really turned it for me. I was like, I feel like I'm a kid again. And, you know, I'm getting a booyah. That's really all I want.
Yes, yes. It was great. It wasn't quite as energetic, but I feel like that's a sign of good things to come.
Yeah, I really like the development of Cyborg, because as we were talking about, just his humor just starting to show as he was hanging out with people and not being all cooped up, so...
Yeah. Yeah, and I think he's got the most interesting backstory, too, of he's got his dad, and he's got this accident that happened, and
mm-hmm.
he's kind of trying to battle the machine, but he still wants to be, like, helpful.
Yeah. So,
I'm really interested to see where Cyborg goes.
Me too.
Okay, so kind of picking back up with the plot. So we've got our team kind of assembled. And is this... Okay, at what point does Superman happen?
Okay, so first off we had Steppenwolf interrogating, like, the Star Labs employees.
Yes, okay, so he had captured the boxes from... Wonder Woman and Aquaman's home bases.
Right.
And he's going after the third one, which is mm-hmm. essentially Cyborg's home base. It's the labs where his dad works. And so, yeah, that's kind of their first team moment.
Yeah, and I don't think Aquaman was there in the beginning. He shows up later.
He shows up at the very end, yeah.
Yeah, so this was kind of like our first team thing. That's when we had Flash being like, I signed up for this, but I didn't really know what I was signing
up
for.
Yeah, and he's in charge of saving people. Yeah, yeah. But, I did love the scene there where Wonder Woman's falling, and he goes and taps the sword back into her hand. That was awesome, because you kind of saw it coming, but just watching it, it was like, yes. That was cool. That was a good hero moment. Cool.
Yeah, I feel like it is... It's got to be super challenging to figure out what the heck to do with speedsters in movies. With Quicksilver in the X-Men movies, we give him, like, dedicated sequences. But then, besides that, he don't really do too much. So, yeah. If you're trying to, like, incorporate him into, like, a team thing, it's kind of difficult. And small things like that, like, I thought that scene was cool. I thought Batman was as competent as he could be. Wonder Woman was awesome. I love how strong she is consistently throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Like, she was going toe-to-toe with Steppenwolf. I mean, she was having some issues, but she was still doing great. And then Flash just running around. I thought that whole beginning sequence was pretty cool. I like to see Batman struggle a little bit, I'm not going to lie, because he's Batman, but he is also, like, just so out of his element.
Yes, you know? Yes. Both because it's, like, heroes fighting heroes, and he's just the one that's got wealth and gadgets,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a, like in like animated Justice League, like they've got to be created with it anyway, mm-hmm. And also because they've made him this like old approaching retirement Batman.
Yeah, he's not a spring chicken Batman.
Yeah, and he kind of gets hit once, and he's just kind of like on the ground, like nursing his leg because he just bruises easily. And I'm like, okay, this makes sense. It makes Ben Affleck as Batman a little more believable.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that, because I think it kind of grounds it in sort of a way, because it's just like, okay, if this was a regular person, they'd probably be dead. So I can understand why Batman was like, ow.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And also, people love Batman so much, I think it's good that they're not making him like a scene stealer.
Yeah, I don't think he should be. I don't know. I was very happy with Batman's role here.
Yeah, and he does. They do a good job of establishing him as like kind of the like moral leader of the he kind of decides the direction that the Justice League goes.
But I we'll get into this later. I like that he was like trying to throw the reins into Diana's hands and being like, "You got to lead these folks," because. You know, you are the leader in this situation. I really enjoy their dynamic. I thought I'm skipping ahead, I'm sorry. But whenever they got into their little spat because they weren't sure about bringing Superman back, I was like, ugh, this isn't the drama I want. But then,
yeah,
whenever they made up afterwards, I was just like, you know, he had some valid points. I'm kind of glad that they kind of aired that. I was cool with it, but
and isn't that kind of a constant with the Justice League of like
yeah.
the leadership of it? It's always like Batman versus Superman versus like someone else gonna step up and take the reins.
Yeah, and they always do that really well in the animated series, and I guess I was just scared they were going to fumble it a little bit, but I thought they did it, like, great in this movie. But you were cool with the whole, like, introduction as for them as a team, and I guess
yeah.
it was,
yeah,
like,
no, I thought that, I thought that fight was good. The whatever robot thing Batman brought with him, I didn't understand the purpose of that thing. It was clunky.
It was clunky, but also, I didn't know what else he was going to do.
yeah, I guess it was just there to give him something to do because everyone else was doing
their own
thing. Yeah,
I was fine with it once I realized that. I was like, well, without this, I don't know what else Batman's going to do.
Yeah, no, that was cool. Yeah, and then Aquaman kind of conveniently just rides the sewer tides to show up at the perfect moment. Yeah, but I think right after that was when they went to the Batcave, right?
Yeah, and kind of had...
Yeah, they had their argument. They escaped with their stone or cube. What I forget what the name of those things was.
But
they essentially decide that it's time to bring Superman back, and it's like big surprise. Can't believe that they're gonna do this.
Hey, but I don't know how, but I didn't see any promotion with Superman in it.
I didn't either. The only thing I saw was like. They would sometimes have, like, the Justice League written out with the different symbols, like, as letters in the name, and Superman's symbol was there, but it's like, well...
I mean, I knew he was coming back, I just didn't want them to show me he was coming back.
Yeah, and they did the clever thing with the trailer where they, like, showed him talking to Lois Lane, but then they're like, oh, but she was dreaming it. Which actually didn't happen in the movie, and I was like, oh, sneaky DC.
Yeah, you told me about that one, but I never actually saw that one, so...
Yeah, I thought it was well done. But yeah, so they go and revive Superman, which I was glad they didn't just, like, go in there and, like, just made it happen. They had to, like, come up with a way for Flash to go and, like, charge the box as it hits the thing, which I don't know if it makes sense or not, but it was just something cool to do, so it's not just... exposition. So and then Superman comes back and they've got the fun scene where he's not quite himself and they have to battle him, and Batman kind of tries to stay out of it because he knows he's just not the person that Superman wants to see, and then Superman just destroys him. I thought it was good. And the part where he's sitting there and Flash starts trying to run around him, and then, like, he just slowly, like, turns his eye and Flash is just like, what?
That is the most terrified I've ever been in a superhero movie. In fact, this sequence might be one of my favorite sequences of all superhero movies because, you know, Superman really is just a level above everyone else, and they just showed how much of a level above everyone else he is.
Yeah,
he was like holding all of them, and when he saw Flash running, that was amazing.
Yes,
no, I was really happy with how they handled him, because, you know, they were talking about let's bring him back, and I was like, he is this overpowered, show it, and they really did. So
yeah, no, they cool did a that. Good job throughout of kind of like balancing the powers and like showing which ones are effective in certain situations. So
yeah, they really did.
I thought that was cool. So, yeah, Superman comes back. He's not quite himself. They bring out Lois Lane, which is, like, the key to unlocking his memory or whatever.
That's like, a bit cliche, but okay, folks.
I know. It was like, okay, we got to...
What else is going to happen?
We got to get Superman back somehow.
Yeah.
So I think from there, they kind of just, after a while of Superman recovering, go off to the final fight.
They have, like, another... scene in the Batcave, and that's kind of where Wonder Woman and Batman like make their amends, and that's when I was just like, okay, I'm cool with this dynamic, because I think they handled like the reconciliation like super well.
I think that was
pretty much all that's next. And then
Steppenwolf steals the last box while they're battling Superman. He kind of sneaks in there and grabs it. Yeah, so I think they head off to do their final battle. Okay, so one problem I had was throughout the movie they kept cutting. So Steppenwolf has his home base in this Russian nuclear plant, and it's kind of taking over this small village as he grows the power there, and the parademons are kind of flying around, and it keeps cutting to this little family inside this house, and I mean, they're doing it throughout the movie, and I thought these guys have to be super important to the plot somehow. Like, they have some, like, key to defeating him or something. And it's like, no, they were just building them up so that you cared about them when they were saved. And I don't know. I could have gone without those little scenes.
I think okay, see, here's why I was fine with it. Because okay, going back to comparisons again, like I said, I wouldn't do. But with Age of Ultron, you know, they lifted up what was it Sokovia?
Yes, an
They
entire, and
lifted
it was
up
a
Sokovia.
much, much larger city, I would
Yes,
say.
much larger city. And I mean, there are civilians and everything, but it had no like stakes, I guess, for them, because it was just like, oh, this is scary, but you didn't like. It was just like a faceless army attacking faceless civilians. So it's sad, but it's not like you can't be empathetic with like faceless civilians to a certain degree. So I guess this was their answer to it, and it was a little silly, but I don't know how else they like. Because, you know, when Superman came back and Batman was like, we gotta do this, this, and that, and then Superman's just like, oh, civilians. I was like, oh God, this is the Superman I want. And then when like him and Flash are like helping the civilians, it felt a lot more satisfying that it was someone not just like a rando, I guess. It was still a rando, but we had some sort of interaction with him. So
Yeah, I think I could have just gone for like one little scene as they're heading into town of, oh, this family's still trapped there, instead of like 30 minutes into the movie, they were showing this family as they're like boarding up their windows.
Okay, you're right. There are too many cutaways. We could have
Yeah,
done
and I
we
was just
could
like,
too
they've
many
come back to
cutaways.
this family so many times. Like, there has to be something with this family, and it just kind of felt like a misdirection.
It feels like kind of like a double-edged sword because I said like they had too many cutaways, but if they had less, then people would have been like, "Who the hell are these people?
Yeah,
Like, why are
no,
they any more important than anyone else?"
I guess
But
that's true.
I don't know.
Yeah, and it did set up a good scene later. But yeah, so they go and they do their little fight. Batman takes off in his Batmobile and just starts gunning everything down. Gets all the parademons on his tail, and they have like the 5-minute trailer sequence of just the entire scene from the trailer. Which I don't know why we got all of that action in the trailer. But it was cool, and then they kind of settle in for their final fight with Steppenwolf, and I don't really remember anything too remarkable happening until Superman shows up.
I like that Wonder Woman and Aquaman, because they are super powerful. I like that they were able to like fend for themselves against Steppenwolf, but I'm also glad that it looked like, you know, they could use a hand.
Yeah, they couldn't, they could handle, but they couldn't quite defeat him.
Yes. So I'm glad that I just no one seemed like underpowered at any point, and I was cool with that. So yeah, it was I was happy with everyone doing their thing. Cyborg didn't have a lot to do because he had to be the one like doing the tech stuff, but I mean, I guess that makes sense.
That's a good role for him. Yeah, and until he like has full control over his powers or whatever, 'cause his like handgun kind of has a mind of its own. Yeah, and I feel like him just fighting normally, it would kind of seem like he's a little weaker than the other ones right now.
Well, he is, so I was fine with his position, but yeah, before Superman came, everything was pretty good, but I really enjoyed Superman and like the whole like end sequence. I feel like all the complaints of people have had about like Henry Cavill being like too stoic and not like not like goofily patriotic enough. I feel like all of that was addressed in like this last scene. Like he shows up, he's like, "How can I help?" He's like, "Ah, civilians." and then he's like, when he punches Steppenwolf, he says something stupid about justice.
Oh, okay. Like, oh, he God, says, yes. He says, his line is, "I believe in truth, but I'm also a big fan of justice." And then he punches him, and it was like, oh, we died laughing at that part, because it was just so, it was like, yes.
Yeah, but it was such a good, like, goofy, like, I really love Henry Cavill as Superman, and I really just loved how he hammed that line up, and he was just so strong, like, they didn't, like, it made it make sense why they brought Superman back, because he was whooping Steppenwolf. Like, yes. He was just so strong, and I was like, yes, this makes sense. I'm down with it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I really liked how he was handled. Yeah. And it was kind of a wink at the audience of, like, oh, yeah, you think Superman's OP? Watch this.
So, yeah, Superman during that last sequence might be another one of my favorite parts. He was just so dang cheerful and whatnot. Like, he was like, I know, I hope I don't die again.
And then he goes, as Flash is going to save our favorite Russian truck full of civilians.
Yeah.
And he's pushing them off into the distance. Flash turns and just sees Superman carrying an entire apartment building. And it was like, yes. This is the ridiculous crap that Superman does, is carry apartment buildings full of cheering civilians to safety.
Yeah, Superman at the end of the movie really just tied it up great for me, because he was just such a joy. It was like watching a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. No, it really was, and that's what the DC universe had been missing, I think.
I think so too. And I know people, and see, this is what bothers me, I guess, about this whole Marvel-DC debate, because I know people are going to be like, well, where was this Superman before? Superman's never been this happy. And those same people were the ones being like, oh, this Thor movie is great, when there was nothing
Thor,
to change
that
Thor's,
was a different,
like,
Thor.
Outlook on life. At least Superman died and has a different outlook.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. I thought Superman was done really well. And then he even used his ice breath to defeat the villain.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And I was like, oh yeah, he also has ice breath.
Was that our first time seeing that?
I don't remember. I don't remember Man of Steel very well, but I don't know. It's just one of those powers where it's always like, why does Superman have this? Like, what? Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed that final battle.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure. I honestly don't remember much after that until the after credits scenes. So they defeat Steppenwolf, and all the parademons attack him because he's afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And they go back into whatever dimension. So assume maybe Steppenwolf isn't defeated and can still fight along Darkseid at some point. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do that, and then I think Bruce Wayne, like, buys some, like, the new headquarters for the... Or did he buy it, or was that Wayne Manor?
I'm pretty sure that was Wayne Manor.
I didn't understand. I guess I just didn't realize it was in, like, terrible disrepair.
I think you can see him, like, walking away from it, like, in pity in Batman versus Superman or something.
Okay.
I don't know if it's explicitly said. I see it on Wiki now, and I kind of just assumed that was what was up. They may have said it pretty quick, but I was too high on excitement at that point, so.
Yeah. I was half expecting them to have a space base like they do in the cartoon.
Ugh.
And I was like, that wouldn't make any sense.
I don't care. I'd love it.
Oh, man. Okay. So, yeah, movie ends. Everyone's happy.
Well, I like the, like, tie-up at the end with, like, Batman, like, buying up Wayne Manor and, you know, having, like, base of operations or whatever. You see Wonder Woman, like, resuming her duties, like, talking to people and whatnot. See Barry Allen, like, talk to his father, which is cool.
I think that's probably the side plot that I'm least into. I don't know, I just didn't feel any, like, need to care about that at this point, but I guess
that makes sense. If it ties a lot into the Flash's backstory, and I think they're doing one of the big events in the DC Comics is called Flashpoint, and all this tie, all like his dad being in prison ties into that. So, but if you like, otherwise, I understand not really caring about that.
Yeah, and I was also just like, oh, the guy from Alien Covenant.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. He doesn't look like he'd be as... Yeah, that was strange for me, but...
yeah.
But it was fine. And then seeing, like, Cyborg, like, change his armor or whatever to look more like the Cyborg we know, which I thought was cool. Like, his chest piece changes or whatever and has, like, the circle in the middle. I don't remember seeing Aquaman. I guess he was swimming.
I think he went back to his little hometown. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either. I do remember seeing Superman jet down the alley and, like, open his shirt, and, oh, man, yeah. I cheered again for that scene.
Yeah. That was just, like, that was perfectly just, this is Superman.
Yeah, that was pretty great. And, so I think that was about it that wrapped up to the credits.
Yeah, okay, so now we can get into post-credits and also, maybe little teasers for the next movies.
Yeah, I'm down.
So the first post-credit scene was just the fun Flash versus Superman, who's faster.
Which is awesome.
I know, because that's like a debate that fans have had forever. And yeah, that they addressed it that directly was again like, we see you fans, we're on your side. It was like, about time.
I was like, that really was pure fan service-y, and I was, I loved it.
Yeah, 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 so that one was good. A bunch of people started leaving after that in our theater. I was like, why would you do this?
Why would...
Yeah, it will never make sense to me. So the second one is Lex Luthor, his escape from prison, and he is putting together, I forget the name of it, what is their League of Villains called?
There's one called the Legion of Doom.
I think that's it. It's him and Deathstroke. So
yeah.
I'm all about that because I'm a big fan of Deathstroke.
Yeah, me too.
And it was cool to see he's in there. So I'm not sure if that's going to be for Justice League 2. Or if that's going to be a problem for Wonder Woman, or... I don't know.
What I hope is, and looking at the slate of movies they have lined up, I don't think this is likely. But there's a plot, and I'm assuming it's probably in the comics too. But I've seen the animated version, and it's called Justice League Doom. Well, they have something called Justice League Dark, maybe that's it. But, they have something on slated called Justice League Dark, so maybe that's what they mean. But in Justice League Doom, pretty much, they've got their team, they're, like, defending the world and whatnot. And Batman has these secret files with ways to destroy every member of the Justice League in case they get out of hand. The bad guys get a hold of this and then start taking them out using that information. I think that would be a cool subplot, because that's the only way I can see... like Deathstroke going like toe to toe with the League, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that would be a pretty interesting development, but they don't even have a date for that, and it's not called Justice League Doom, so I don't know. So that's probably not too likely.
Yeah. Okay, so the next movie slated to come out is Aquaman, right?
Yeah.
Because that one they're already done filming, and I think it's like really soon, like it's like April or something like that.
No, they moved it back to December of 2018.
Did they? Okay.
Well, at least that's what they have on the Wikipedia page. I don't know if I think DC is a little worried right now because Justice League did not do bad, but it didn't do Justice League numbers, so I think they're a little worried about what
which
they're gonna do.
Which kind of surprised me because, like, seeing it, like, my theater was full, and I was like,
yeah,
I don't know why people aren't going to see this, but I think part of it is, like you said, it's doing good, it's just not doing incredible,
yeah.
And part of it is because they spend so much dang money on these things.
That's true.
So, for a comparison, Justice League, they're saying, was budgeted at about $300 million.
Oh, boy.
Which is...
Oh, boy.
A whole lot of money. Whereas, okay, Thor Ragnarok, they spent $180 million on it.
Oh, God!
Oh, I know. No. And so, and Thor is going to make... It's going to bring in more money than Justice League on its own, in addition to they spent $120 million less making it. And so I think this is one of DC's biggest problems, is they have these just ginormous budgets on things, and I guess Marvel's just been making movies long enough, they've figured out how to make not a low-budget movie, but a lower-budget movie.
More of a cost-effective movie.
Yeah, because, I mean, so it didn't really bother me, but there is just a ton of CGI in Justice League.
Yeah, there is a ton, but...
Which I assume is why the budget was so large.
Yeah, I assume so, too. But honestly, I don't really know.
So, yeah, I'm a little worried that the finances might affect it, but...
I mean, it already has made its money back.
Yeah, from a story point... I really like where they're going after Wonder Woman and Justice League. I feel like they've kind of righted the ship. And, I'm hoping that doesn't affect these next few... So we've got Aquaman, December 21st, 2018.
That's definitely going to move, because they'll be competing with Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that.
You would not do that.
Yeah, I don't. Do summer of next year.
Yeah, there's plenty of time during the summer.
Yeah. Shazam is after that. So did we... Okay. In the Steppenwolf fight scene... The Steppenwolf's backstory scene...
Oh, yeah! We didn't talk about that.
Together. Yeah, and so that was kind of, like, the teaser scene. So was the electricity guy... Was that Shazam?
I don't know.
I would
have to watch it again. It's been.
I feel like it was. I forget his name, but I feel like it was another guy. But yeah, Shazam's 2019, and unless that was him, they really haven't set Shazam up.
That's fine.
Very much. Which yeah. Fine with that.
They talked about, and I don't know if it's 100% true or not, but they were talking about having The Rock be Black Adam, which makes 100% sense.
Yeah, and that's why I wasn't sure. That might have been Black Adam. I don't really know what Black Adam's powers are.
I'm seeing, like, varying things. Black Adam's powers are the same as Shazam's.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
They should just change that Shazam movie to be a Black Adam movie.
Yeah. I'd be fine with it. I don't need Shazam.
I know. Yeah, but... Shazam's the one after that. Wonder Woman 2, they have in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cyborg in 2020. And Green Lantern also in 2020, which we did see a brief
those Green Lanterns during that scene
of a couple Green Lanterns.
I thought they looked awesome.
Yes. And it was like far away enough that they didn't give too much away. Mm-hmm. But it was also like, these are definitely Green Lanterns.
Yeah, definitely Lanterns.
And doing their awesome stuff. So, and that was confirmation that that is actually coming. They're bringing Green Lanterns into this universe at some point. So, I don't know. I'm excited for the future of it.
Me too.
It's a good movie. I'm
nervous.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to... it's not a good place to be. It's probably the appropriate place to be.
Well, I'm not nervous that they're going to mess it up. I really like the direction that Wonder Woman went, and I really like Justice League, but I'm afraid that executives are going to be like, we need to be making twice as much money off of a team-up movie, so we're going to course-correct, and it'll be something different. And
but what do you course-correct to? I just don't understand.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I need to read some of the negative reviews to see what people really hated about this movie, because it's only at 44% on Rotten Tomatoes, which surprises me.
The thing that bothers me, the reviews I saw, I feel like they could be applicable to any comic book movie. I feel like they know it's WB, or they know it's DC, so they know that they can pick on it more.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to my original statement of I kind of came into the movie expecting to hate it. just because I don't know why. I don't know why that is.
No, it's okay, because I was talking to Josh, actually, and it was, like, a day or two before the movie. He was like, what do you think about this movie? Do you think it's going to be good? And, you know, in my mind, I was just like, well, it's the Justice League. It's going to be great. He was just like, really? You think so? I was like, Wonder Woman was great. This is right after Wonder Woman. And he was just like, you know what? You're right. But DC really just, they shot themselves in the foot, because people go into these movies with not a great expectation. And I'm trying to, I guess, correct that in my mind. I was hyped for this movie, and I stayed pretty hyped throughout. So, but I know that's not the majority of the way people are thinking. And yeah. I hate that, but it's like, it's their fault. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think they did a great job of staying on track with Justice League. So, yeah, and I'm kind of looking forward to watching it again, honestly.
Yeah, I really did want to see it a second time before we talked, because I could feel myself not remembering details. But I'll probably see it again before it exits theaters. Probably see it on a Tuesday or something for cheaps.
Nice. Cool, man.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked it. I was really afraid you weren't going to.
I think like halfway through, it might have been when Superman came back that really was like the for sure turning point.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a little slow getting going, I think.
Okay, yeah, I'll grant that.
And so this was, we went the night of Thanksgiving, so we had a big Thanksgiving lunch, and so I looked over about, it was the scene when Batman is talking to Wonder Woman next to the lake, and they're just kind of expositioning, and I looked over and my dad's head was starting to droop, and his eyes were starting to close, because we're full on all that turkey.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, no, I think once Superman came back, it was just fun from there on out, which is what, that's what DC needs. They just need some fun movies.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. I thought I would be alone in my opinion, because I, as soon as I, because did you hear the whole thing about Rotten Tomatoes? They weren't releasing the score because they were, like, trying to promote their stupid Facebook channel or whatever, and people took that the wrong way. They were just like, oh, they're not releasing it. That must mean it's terrible.
I did not hear about this drama at all.
Okay, well, the drama pretty much was that Rotten Tomatoes just wouldn't release the score. And, I mean, you could still go look up reviews, but everyone just wants that single, concise, like, stupid little meter bar. And people were, like, popping up conspiracy theories, being like, I bet Warner Brothers stopped them from, like, posting it. And really, they were just holding it because they were trying to promote their Facebook, show that they're doing. And they had done this with another movie, but it wasn't as big, so people didn't really care. But now people were just, like, thinking all these bad things, and really it was just Rotten Tomatoes doing some PR work. But, and then reviews came out, and most were just, like, mixed, and I was just like, am I the only one who loved this? So, I wasn't sure what
your attitude was going to be. You're not alone. I think there's going to be a lot of other fans that, well, I don't know if I can say that, but I think they did what they needed to do here, and if this doesn't work, then I don't think it's going, I just don't think there's anything they can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, what do we have coming up the next couple weeks that's releasing?
I don't know. There's really not many, like, big name ones, unless you want to do, like, an Oscars one.
Ugh.
But I would, I know. And even if we did that, I'd rather wait until nominees come out in, like, January or February. But, I mean, Star Wars is into December, so that'll definitely need a review. I was thinking at some point we could do, like, a Disney Pixar ranking thing.
Get
Grace on here and have some healthy debate over what the best Pixar movies are.
I'm down, but I feel like that's going to be a heated discussion.
yes, and that's I'm all for it. So, we'd need to come prepared to that one. But I think that's something we could do sometime in December if you want to.
Yeah, because it looks like we have some time. It looks like The Disaster Artist is coming out this weekend, maybe? I don't know if it's going to be
I still haven't seen The Room, and so I'm not going to go see that one unless I've actually seen The Room.
Right, right. But if we could, I want to see the Disaster Artist though. So, and I haven't seen The Room either. So, if at some point we can squeeze that into our schedule,
no, that'd
it
be a
looks
good
like
one.
It's gonna be awesome.
That'd be a good one. Okay, yeah, you should run by Pixar by Grace, and you guys can see Coco. I probably won't see Coco in theaters. And I didn't see Cars 3, but we could, yeah, we could try to do that one at some point.
Yeah, I'm down to, Grace and I will probably see Coco, and we'll tell you about it, but, yeah, I had no desire to see Cars 3. Did anyone really? Did it, like, do well?
There were, like, some, like, six-year-olds at the kids' table at Thanksgiving, and I overheard them talking about Cars 3, so they saw it.
Okay. it made money, but I don't know if it made like Pixar money.
Probably not.
Oh no, it did not. It's ranked like 17th out of all the Pixar movies.
Oh no.
Yeah, it looks like Coco's gonna overtake it pretty quickly.
Yeah, Coco's been starting out really strong.
It's gonna take a while, but but yeah, Cars 3 did worse than Cars 2.
That's awful because
that is
Cars
not
2,
good.
Cars 2 is in contention for my least favorite Pixar movie.
I can't think of another one that I like less than
we'll
Cars
have to,
2.
Well, we need Grace for this. We need a definitive opinion on these.
All right, well, I guess that wraps up our talk about Justice League as well as other things.
Cool, man. Mm-hmm.